beautiful people. We're back at it. This is Lala Kent.
Oh,
with Randall.
No, it's
there.
Not,
we go. No. Let me help you. God, wake up, John.
John?
We're podcasting. We are podcasting.
What is John? What does that mean?
Okay, so do you remember John and Kate? Do you remember John and Kate Plus Eight?
Yeah.
Okay. Towards the end of that show, he was like so out of it, right? Like falling asleep. And there was one episode where she kept saying something to him and she's like, "Hello, wake up, John."
Okay, so that was a reference to a show that was on TV like 10 years ago.
So now I say it all the time.
Okay, well, no one would have got that.
Wake up, John.
And by the way, tired because of all his philandering?
Was he a philandering or was he?
He was a philanderer, wasn't he?
No, I think that he had like 20 kids.
He was a boozer and he had a girlfriend and he also had like 90 kids and he was married to Kate, which I heard was like a fucking nightmare.
Oh, that's going to be a problem. Kate's going to come for you. I just want to say that when we start the...
I'm not used to that at all.
When we start the podcast, we should start it with, "Hi, everybody. It's Give Them Lala with Rand." That's how it should have started.
Oh, my God. It's just exhausting sometimes.
I feel every day that when
here the thing is we should just show up and we just get it popping. It's natural. I don't want to show up and be like, "Here we are again today. Welcome, class. Today we're learning about physics." Like, it's supposed to be fun. Like, however it comes out, it comes out. There is no formula to it.
Wah, wah, wah.
So I'm super excited about today, you guys.
Oh,
because we have a guest who I have. Am That's I just going to carry today's show? Thank fucking God we have someone cool on today. All right.
No, who do we have?
We have my female crush besides Beyonce. Her name is Gisele Bryant. She's on a show called Real Housewives of Potomac. Randall, you haven't watched this series. Randall and I watch every single city of Housewives together.
That's
okay?
Extreme.
Just admit it.
Beverly Hills, OC, New York Atlanta. City and Atlanta.
Yes.
Four of them. Am I missing?
That's a lot.
Am I missing?
That's a lot.
I don't.
Okay. You need to add Potomac to your list.
Okay. Can I say something before we get into this? I mean, about this though.
Yeah.
So you're right. I do not know shit about this show. So, but I did get a little 401 from you, Cliff Note version. Now I can't watch every Fringle. I want a Fringle. No, I can't watch every show in the world, but I am going to try to tap in because you love this show. So tell us the setup of the characters on this show. Do they have the villain, the nice person, the pushover?
Of course.
What's the big storyline this season?
Well, guess what? We're only three episodes in right now.
Okay. What was the big shebang coming out of the gate?
The big shebang coming out of the gate right now is there's this woman, Candace. Keep in mind, they're all stunning. Candace, while Ashley was like giving birth, was calling her all sorts of fucked up shit.
What do you mean? She was in the birth,
like literally
in the hospital room with
legs
her?
In the air, shoving out a person. And this Candace is just on Twitter, like firing insults one after the fucking other.
Well, that's harsh.
The girls are like, "We're having a fucking sit down and you're going to fucking apologize to Ashley for being an asshole." And Candace is so gangster. She's like, "Fuck that shit. No, I'm not." So now I DVR the show because I don't like commercials. So when I get home after this podcast, I'm going to go see what's up with like what happens at the dinner.
This is exciting.
Yeah. I'm telling you, if you have not watched The Real Housewives of Potomac, get on board because it's like, it's the diamond of the franchise right now.
Tim?
Yeah.
I know you have two children and a wife, and I have two children and a fiance / wife because she's basically my wife, Lala. I'm going to have to squeeze in the first episode of season one. I expect you to do it this weekend, too. And then we will text each other and ask, do we think it's at the level that Lala has just sold us?
Okay.
Okay. That's our homework.
It's effortless. It's effortless.
Also, Alex,
done.
Producer Alex is here, so he has to do the same job. So, Alex, on Sunday, we'll have a three-way text on Housewives of Potomac. No, we need to be more educated because we're on a podcast with Lala, who is dialed in. So, Alex.
Yeah. What does the Potomac refer to? I'm just curious.
Potomac
Maryland.
Maryland.
Yes.
Wow. What an obscure location. I can't wait.
It's the most random location
ever. I would have just
ever.
Said Washington, D.C. How far is Potomac from Washington, D.C.?
I believe relatively close. But then again, I'm really bad at geography, so don't ask me.
It's really close.
Can we do one geography trivia game where Alex asks you two basic geography questions.
Yeah.
And see if you can get it
totally.
Right. Totally. Because Alex is, by far, Alex is the smartest in this group.
Okay, Alex,
hands
ask
down.
Me.
Hold on. Oh, God. Tim just gave us a question, gave a look like he could be smarter than you. Tim, I blow you away and I went to film school. Now, let's go. Alex.
We're
ask
asking
Tim,
two geographic.
First ask Tim a question, a hard one, and then ask Lala a geography question. It has to be in the United States for Lala. It could be anywhere in the world for Tim. Let's see, because I suck at geography and I openly admit it. Okay, go ahead.
Is North Dakota east or west of Idaho?
East.
All right, Lala. You got to say it's correct. Alex, use the mic.
That's correct. That's
that was easy.
I don't know if I would have got that. I would have gambled.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Okay. You know that.
Okay, next, go to Tim, because Tim thinks he's a friggin' genius. So let's see.
On the Dakotas, what is the capital of South Dakota?
I mean.
Oh, my. Tim.
Wait, hold on.
Tim, you exactly proved my point.
Geography is not the end all be all
Tim,
of intelligence and knowledge.
Give me one more category, Tim. Pick one more category.
I don't need to sit here and answer to all of you.
You want to know what's amazing about.
It's amazing,
about
Tim, how you
just all of
exactly
it.
Proved my point.
Geography, math, science,
you're
whatever.
It's not relevant to the world.
It's just none of it is the end all be all.
No, but it's important.
Like, in all, if I can walk out the front door and keep myself alive, I'd say I'm pretty fucking intelligent.
I want to say something.
I know
I
a
was
lot
not
of people who are very book smart and like they don't. Des Moines. Oh, that's Des Moines, Iowa.
Pierre.
Listen, I just want to say something. Lala,
Pierre.
Can I say something, Lala, to your point? You are right. Look, I consider myself pretty successful, and I was an artistic kid. I was not the greatest student in school. My average was probably a C. I don't encourage that. But and B's in theater. There are also people who are book smart, like Bill Gates, who are billionaires. So I don't know. It goes.
And then you can just pay people to keep you alive. So that's dope. That's what I would do.
All right. I'm glad we played trivia on the podcast. We will be back again. Trivia on the podcast.
No, I hate trivia on the podcast.
Oh,
we're not doing
it
again.
Week.
No, this is stupid.
Okay. Well, can we do one more question for Tim? Because it's really fun to watch him.
One more and then I'm ready to talk to Giselle
Tim,
Bryan.
Tim, you're really smart. So here you go. Here, you're 0 for 1. Go ahead. Alex, give me another one.
Is this another geography one?
Yeah. Oh. No, let's do the spelling bee. Let's do the spelling bee one time for Tim. It's my favorite. Tim fails at the spelling bee.
I didn't participate in the last spelling bee.
You failed, Tim.
I'm pretty good. No, I didn't. I'm pretty good at spelling.
Tim.
I'm okay at spelling.
Okay, we'll see. Here we go. Alex, real quick, because we got a couple minutes to kill before we bring our incredible guest out. This is fun. I think it's fun.
I just love, as you get older, is that this the definition of fun?
I
like it. I'm into it.
What
okay,
other
what's
fun
the
do
word?
I have?
What's the word?
Go.
This is tough.
Give him a real one, Alex.
Spell profundity.
Oh, this is great. This is great.
Profundity.
He's okay.
What does
on.
That mean? Oh.
Go. Yeah. Go, Tim.
P-R-O-F. U N D I T Y.
You gave
profundity.
Me an easy one.
Profundity.
I'm the worst. Hold on. Hold on. I'm the worst speller in the world, and I could have got that. You can't pick a harder one than that. That's like college below
so
college.
So when I was in elementary school, I knocked my best friend out of the spelling bee with the word coco. C O C O
A. Yep. Did you really?
Yeah, I'm serious.
and you've held on to that level of spelling bee for the last 30 years.
How old were you?
I don't know. Probably.
Do you
like
have a real one, Alex, real quick?
Yeah. 10, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was a very early round of the spelling.
Okay, here we go.
It must
Tim, be. That one doesn't count. So I'll give you 1 for 1. You're 1 for 1. Here's your last one. This is the tiebreak.
Camaraderie.
Yes. Right here, Tim.
Here it is.
This is a tough one.
No, it isn't. It's actually like an 11th grade spelling word. Maybe 10th grade.
C-O-M... Is it C-A-N?
Fail. You already failed. That's
I
it.
I failed.
So that's
yeah,
our that point,
one's, that, well, that
do
one's a
not,
tough one.
Okay, I'm going to give Alex
but
one.
There's also, it's like an
Alex,
A-R.
Give me your phone for
like,
a word. Give me your phone for a word.
Yeah, C-A-M-A-R.
Alex, give me your phone. Watch how good Alex is, and I hate giving him props because his ego is out of control. But here we go. No, you won't. No, you won't. You've got, ready? Here we go. Furlough.
F-U-R-L-O-U-G-H.
Okay, you win. Alex, you're better than Tim.
Wow, I would have said L-O-W.
I could have spelled
furlough. No, you're full of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, Lala, I could. Lala, let's take a break.
The word furlough has been in the news every day for the past 5 months. I can spell furlough.
Wait, you...
Because everyone's getting furloughed.
Because everyone's getting furloughed.
That's why.
That was 6 months ago. Yeah, that's you're a little late to that.
All right, as much as much fun as I've had during this boy time
this
spelling
great.
Bee, you all are just smart as shit. I can't get over it. All right, when we get back, we have Gisele Bryant.
Yes.
All right, we are back with my all-time greatest crush besides Beyonce. They're like neck and neck. What's up, Gisele Bryant?
How are you? I can't believe I'm in the same category as Beyonce. I feel like so honored.
Oh, honey, you're there. Trust me. With a face like that and an ass that don't quit.
Wow. Yes.
Wow. I'm on a roll today.
Gisele, this is Randall. I just want to tell you something. First of all, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I have to tell you, we over here, the producers and myself, I am a big Housewives fan, but I have not, and I don't know why Lala has not educated me with your show. So we have homework this weekend, and we are watching the first season. I said the first episode, but I meant the first season. So I am excited to hear about all the drama firsthand from you and just how you got on the show and how that happened. And is it fun? Is it, you know, all the good stuff. And then when I watch it now this weekend,
you'll have the backstory.
Yeah. But Lala told me all this shit that's already gone down. So
no,
I can't
Gisele,
wait.
I told them Potomac is the diamond of the Housewives franchise right now. Like y'all are killing it.
She did say that. She did say.
Okay. But if you start from season one, that's like so boring
basic.
From where we are now.
Basic.
Yes.
Where should I start, maybe, Gisele? Where should I start?
I don't know. Two? Maybe start like, yeah, 2.5. Like, okay. You know, midway through season two.
Okay, Tim, 2.5 we're starting. Alex, 2.5 yes. we're starting. That is our homework assignment for this week, and I can't wait.
So, Gisele, yes. tell us how the Real Housewives of Potomac came to be. Because let's be honest, it's a super random place.
It is. It's so random. Okay, so what I think happened, what I've kind of heard, rumors, are that, you know, obviously they had the Real Housewives of DC. That didn't work out. And years went by and they wanted to come back to this area, but didn't know really how to do it. So we were cast and we filmed an entire season, if you can imagine this, Lala. And we did not know we were going to be housewives.
Oh my
gosh. Like we filmed for months. And we had no
name.
So
what did you think you were doing? Just like trying to make a show work? You didn't know that you were going to be a housewife, like a part of the franchise?
Had no idea.
Wow.
They said, maybe it'll be Housewives. Maybe it'll be Ladies of, because there's like Ladies of London.
Right.
But, you know, we're unsure. So apparently Andy saw, you know, the cuts and he loved it. And he was like, oh, these ladies are definitely housewives. They didn't tell us until literally, I don't know, 5 minutes before they told the rest of the world that we were going to be housewives of, and they couldn't figure out the name to give us, meaning we're in Maryland. Potomac is in Maryland.
Okay.
There's DC, which of course they couldn't touch that because, you know, that didn't work out.
Right.
There's Virginia. There's the DMV area. They didn't know what to call us. So they kind of like did, I guess, their research, and they came up with Potomac, which is where, at the time, the majority of the ladies lived. And it is random. It's so random. And Lala, I'm going to tell you this. Potomac is 95% white.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And so, like, we're the black ladies are the representation of Potomac. So you can imagine how well that went over when we first started.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
You must be running that city. You guys must be running that city.
Oh, when you watch, now, you'll see how they are. They're running everything.
But wait, let me ask a question. Do you live in Potomac? What's it called?
Potomac.
Potomac. Do you live in Potomac still now?
I actually live in Bethesda, which is like right next to Potomac. It's like a mile away.
Oh, okay.
And it's like another little small town. But it's like right, literally, I live 7 minutes from D.C.
Okay, so that was my question, because I just asked Alex here, one of our producers. I said, how far are they from D.C.? So you're 10 minutes max from DC.
Yes.
So when you go out, when you eat, when you go to bars, when they're open, and you hang out, you're going into DC basically, I assume.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
I mean, and I was raised in DC proper.
Oh, okay. So this is making more sense. Like DC is cool city. You know, you got,
like, and they probably would have named this franchise that, or
if,
this
if the
show,
other version did
that one didn't fall stick
apart, fell apart.
Wait, exactly. was DC full of white women?
They had one black girl, but yes, the rest were white.
Okay.
And so it was, and they didn't, from what I understand, they didn't know each other at all prior to the show. So it was kind of like they threw a bunch of random women together that didn't know each other,
which
with
never
us,
works. Which never works.
Never
by
works.
The way.
Right. With us, four of us out of the original six knew each other for years prior to the show.
Oh, wow.
So we had the chemistry already baked in.
That's the best. When you can find...
That's how your show is, babe.
Yeah, well, it's like lightning in a bottle. When you can find a group of women who are like, have known each other forever on top of it, their strong personalities.
Yeah.
Right.
The best.
That's the magic. That's the magic.
It really is. I have
okay,
to
wait,
ask.
Wait, could she just, I just want to hear how yes. they, how you, how did somebody just approach one person? Did somebody come up with an idea, call producers? How does it evolve into this show with you, with all of you women getting together on this show?
They were cast, all of them, and then they didn't know if they were going to be housewives or if it was going to be like Ladies of Potomac.
Oh, they had no idea.
They had no idea.
Okay. So yeah, I'm just.
Right. Prepared. But the cat,
it was like a package
director.
That they were going to sell. Keep going, Giselle.
The guy that cast the show, I actually have known. It's just coincidence. I've known him for like 20 years.
Oh. Wow.
So he calls me and he's like, Giselle, you're going to do the show. And I'm like, what? No, I'm not. And so, so he was like, yes, you are. And that's that. So he said, I've already talked to Charisse. And Charisse I knew. And Charisse knows everyone in Potomac. Everyone.
Wow.
So she was able to give the guy, a whole lot of different women. And then I said, well, if I'm doing it, Robin's doing it. And so I got Robin involved. And then I knew Karen and I were in a children's group together. So I was like, okay, Karen was already on board. So then they filled in the rest. So it just worked.
Wow. That's very cool.
I'm telling you, you're going to
watch it
it'll be your new favorite
it
show.
This weekend.
So are you and Miss Karen doing well, or is your friendship still rocky? Like, what is it like this season? Can you tease? I know the drill. I know the Bravo drill. So without spilling it all, just give me a little sippy.
We ebb and flow as we normally do. However, I don't particularly like the way that we ended the season. So I straight up have not spoken to her since we stopped filming.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's
that's juice. You're gonna see. I'm telling you what.
I can't wait to see. Wait, what was the fight about?
Like why they fell out?
Yeah.
Oh, me and her.
Yeah.
It was it dealt with respect, and I felt like she disrespected me.
Oh.
And that's what I don't tolerate.
Yeah, I don't like that either. By the way,
that's when it all
Giselle,
goes south.
I have friends that you know will disrespect me. You know that I've known for even a long time, and that's the only thing that really just sets me off because it's like. I always am one of those givers. Like I always want to help my friends and bring them up and do what I can do. And the minute they just take advantage or disrespect, it's like, it's not worth it for me. That's the end.
Exactly.
I feel the same.
And especially when you're on a show together. So, you know, she knows personal things that have been off camera about me and me. I know about her that we'll never cross the line and kind of like be disrespectful on camera with it. And I just felt like, there's a level of respect for our friendship that she disregarded. And I don't like that.
Oh, so you feel like she went into a territory that was supposed to be left off camera? Is that what you're saying?
No, she didn't do that, but she just didn't ride for me like I have ridden for her.
Yeah.
I can understand that. That's not cool.
So I have a question. When you started this show, we're on season 5, right?
Yep.
Season 5 is airing now. Did it take a minute to adjust? Because I know with my cast, and I'm sure I'll get in trouble for saying this, I know certain things that my cast members have told me that I would not mention on the show just because I think there's just a level of privacy that we have to, you know, I still want these people to be my friends when the show is done.
But also those things happen not during filming. So it's like you're
correct.
Being respectful.
Correct.
Yes.
Did you find it hard where it was like, there are certain things that I don't really want to discuss for the world to watch? Did you have to get used to that?
Of course. But, you know, season 1, we were really kind of like lightweight and it was never anything that was too out of bounds. However, as time goes by, you know this, stuff gets leaked to the press. So right. once it's public with regards to press, it's we got to talk about it.
Right.
You can't not talk about it. Right. So that's kind of where the seasons have changed and the information has changed. And it's kind of like, okay, I can't sit here and act like I haven't read the blogs because now I know all about your husband and what he's doing, you know, with Karen and her whole tax thing. Like right. that was in the Washington Post that her husband owed the IRS like $5 million. Like oh, there's shit. No way we can't talk about it. I have to talk about it.
Wow. No, I'm telling you, like when I watch y'all's show, it's like real shit. Yeah, like, you know, I'm like, are we going here? Like, oh, they're going there right now.
Yes. And I feel like, you know, we can't get away with I feel like Beverly Hills, like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I love those ladies. I think that they are funny and they, you know, they're dripping in diamonds and pearls. I love it. But they argue over literally nothing.
I know.
Like zero.
Like Lucy, apple juicy. It's like, yes. Give me some real meat.
What's that?
Yes. Whereas we couldn't get away with that if our life depended on it. Like,
I gotta agree with you. I do watch that show, and Lala's glued to all of these Real Housewives. And when I watch, they're fighting over like, were you out of line at the last party? I can't believe what you said. You were disrespectful. It's like, to me, it's like it's not that heavy, you know. But they make it like it's the end of the world. So I'm interested to see your cast and what and how heavy it gets, because
we get into it, and especially this season in a couple maybe like five more episodes we really get into what's really prominent right now, which is, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter. And we could have never known that, you know, the world would have exploded like it did with regards to Black Lives Matter. But in the show we just talk about what it means to be a Black woman and how important that is and how we're viewed in this country. And like all of that came up.
Oh,
and
That's great. I mean, I love
it. Yeah, that's like guys, really heavy stuff.
Yeah, big time. And I think it's phenomenal that you guys, you know, confront it in your show. Because I think we need a lot more of that. So I hope to see that a lot more in television. And
well, I want to deep dive into what you were just talking about. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with Gisele Bryant. We are back with my favorite Real Housewife, Miss Gisele Bryant. Hi, baby.
Hi.
So before the break, you were telling us that in a few weeks on the show, you ladies will get to address Black Lives Matter. What was that like for you? As it, you know, even on when we see Watch What Happens Live and you now do a show that is about this not being a moment, it being a real movement. I watch your Instagram a lot. Like, what is this like for you as a Black woman to be such a force behind this movement?
I think that it's great that we have this platform, or that I'll speak personally, that I have this platform to use my voice to bring awareness to things that people overlook. You know, I've had so many issues with my children and just them in school, and just, you know, some things that the white kids say to them that's horrible. But now, finally, the world is listening, which is a beautiful thing. So in the show, there was an altercation, and afterwards, you know, which was horrible, but afterwards it allowed us to really talk about how we conduct ourselves and how we handle ourselves as Black women in this country, because we are overlooked. We are paid less. We are treated like the lowest man on the totem pole. And we don't ever want to put ourselves on national television and show the world what you already think of us, which is that we're not capable of discussing things without fighting, without violence, without being forceful. So It was a great conversation, and hopefully it'll be really well received.
You know what? I know, obviously I haven't seen it, but that is actually in the trailer when they're like doing a montage of all of these things, like a fight scene that's cutting in and out. And what you say sent chills up my body.
Did it?
It really did. Because, you know, I'm obviously a white person who claps back very quickly, and I don't have to think like that, Giselle. You know, and so when you said that, it was like, wow, like these women are really shedding light on things that people that look like me don't think about because we've never had to. And, you know, you're one of the first people that I called when this movement happened and things went sideways with some of the Vanderpump Rules cast. I just was like reaching for any sort of knowledge that I could get. So I really want to thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, as we all move down this road, it's just like we could just have to have the conversations because it really opens everybody's eyes to what's really going on in this country. So hopefully we can get to a better place. That's all we're asking, just to get to a better place.
Absolutely. I love watching your stories and I love seeing you with your girls and what you guys are doing. So good damn work. I want to move on to Pastor Jamal Bryant.
Yes, the pastor.
Okay. So I was telling Randall, I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, they were married, got divorced. Her kids were like confused when they got back together.
Hold on. Let's start over.
So now I want you to spill all the tea.
Before you spill the tea, do you notice you just flew right over that? Like, it's like a standard talk.
Well, because I was trying to fill you in.
Let me just process what you just said. I mean, you just like, oh, yeah, got married, got divorced, got back together 7 years later. I mean, slow it down. Let's start with the beginning. Hold on, Giselle.
Well, she's going to give you the juice.
I just want to ask the question.
Okay, ask the question.
You married a man. Fell in love, had children, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Then seven years later, got divorced, correct?
Yeah.
And then how many years later from that did you reconnect? And
12 years.
Oh my God, I got to know more. This is too good. Okay, break it down for us. Break it down how this happens.
Throughout the 12 years, you know, I had to make a decision and say, okay, am I just going to be mad for the rest of my life? Or do I really want to give my girls the opportunity to have like a real decent family unit? So I put my love for my children over me being mad at him with regards to the divorce. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So then, you know, time goes by. I'm growing and evolving. He's growing and evolving. You know, I'm growing into this like bad bitch that I am. And
that's amazing.
It is amazing.
That's the best part of the whole episode. Keep going. Right. This is great.
And then he's also growing and evolving with his career. And throughout the 12 years, you know, we remain tight as friends.
Okay. But hold on a second. So I know, in 12 years of being co-parents and raising children in separate homes, do you ever hook up?
Randall, no. You're going there?
I just need to
know. No, that's a really good question. And the answer is no.
I can't. Wow. This is amazing. That's even more amazing that you close a chapter in your life. I understand the co-parenting. And then at some point, how does this go down? Like, how does this happen?
Well, I'm clearly dating other people and doing my thing. And he's doing that too. So I think it happened because of that, because we did our thing without hooking up and without like, okay, you know, he's just going to put his pinky toe in and test the waters. No, we were clearly living our separate lives, of course, co-parenting, but that allowed both of us to grow in our own space.
Okay.
So then, you know, I don't know. I think I woke up one day and was, I mean, he would always, of course, Randall, you know how y'all do. He would always throw it out there.
Dude, you're amazing. You are amazing. Yes. No, okay. So as a dude, that's all I wanted to know. As a dude, you're saying you guys are super close. Over the 12 years, you're obviously both growing. You're both evolving. And then I want to call it your more mature selves 12 years later, kind of fall into line where the attraction is there again, I guess. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Wow.
No, 100%. Wow. Look at you. You broke it down.
I did. I mean, can I tell you something? I've never heard of this. And I do know that Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith, that's the only couple that I'm like kind of aware of that did this kind of thing. I mean, okay, let's just talk about the percentages of this happening. divorce in America, unfortunately, is 58% or something like that. Right. Somewhere in this high bracket of the 50s or 60s. I would say the chances of reconciliation is probably 0.0000001.
Right.
So it's just, you're an anomaly at the highest level. And that's why I'm so just intrigued how it happened. But okay, so now 12 years later, you've matured, he's matured, you're a badass, he's a badass, you both are ballers. And, and you're saying all along, he's like trying to get, like, Friday night comes, you're having a few drinks, he's like, can I sleep over? You're like, no. And then, so he keeps putting it out there, but eventually what happens that you put the wall down or the connection makes sense? That's what I'm intrigued.
Okay. So let me back up and clean some stuff up a little bit. Because it was never like, had too many drinks, can I spend the night? No, it was more like, you know, I can't wait to roll you, you know, push your, what do you call those things? Oh, push your wheelchair when we get old together.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Things like that.
Okay. Yeah. There was none of that four cocktails in just being like, you know,
no.
I really want to.
No, they're in their more mature selves now.
I got it. And, and your husband's a pastor, I'm forgetting. So he's,
and he doesn't drink,
right,
but I do.
I just forgot about that. So I screwed up.
Yes.
Okay. So he's like a unicorn. He's like the perfect ex-husband. There you go.
Yes. And now, absolutely.
Okay. So now he says, I want to push your wheelchair. I want to grow old with you. And you're in this moment in your life where you look at him and say.
So I am at this point where I'm like, you know what? Who do I want to grow old with? Who do I want to travel the world with? Who do I want to share my life with? Because, you know, I'm doing some great things out here and I want to share it with somebody. And there was no other person that I could even possibly think of than him. That's number one. Number two, I was listening to an interview and I can't remember who interviewed them, but it was Shawnee O'Neal and Evelyn Lozada.
Okay, from Basketball Wives.
From Basketball Wives. And the guy asked them, if you guys, right?
I do.
If you guys got locked up in jail, who would you call? You had one call. Who would you call to get you out? And both of them said their ex-husbands. Shawnee was like, Shaquille. And Evelyn was like, Chad.
Oh my.
And I was like, Jamal. Like, there's nobody but Jamal to get me out of jail because I know he will die to protect me and to take care of me and to make sure that I'm good. So, you know, when I started coming into myself and realizing like what I want for my life, it just, you know, of course it just makes sense. The love is still there. And he then moved away. He moved to Atlanta.
Okay. And nothing had happened yet, correct? Like you guys didn't get to this place. Okay.
Just sweet time.
He moves away, being kind to each other. Got it.
Yes. And then I realized I didn't want him away. Like, you know, he moved to Atlanta and I was like, holy shit, he's gone. And then that made me really shift and be like, wait a minute, let's fix this. So, yeah.
And that's when you reached out and you said, let's take a shot at this. I mean, I just want to know that the actual, how it.
I don't have that magical moment for you, Randall, but we just started talking about us being back together. And then we took it seriously because we were like, okay, if we're going to do this, we have to like make sure we're very intentional. So we went to sought counseling and, you know, tried to really get in a good headspace to make sure, because, you know, it's a whole trust thing that you got to rebuild and all of that good stuff that you got to make sure you pay attention to.
But you know what's cool? Because obviously this doesn't happen and it's an anomaly. What's neat is that for 12 years, you both evolved to completely different people, but your completely different selves were more in sync than your previous selves, I guess it seems like. So when you, 12 years later, when you really got together again, it seems like you both were just like spiritually in the same place.
Yes.
I guess, so to say. I think that's amazing. I think it's a true love story. And I'm a sap for this stuff.
I just have to put this out there because she has three girls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And they were like, this is weird. Like, because they never knew. Yes. How are they doing with it now?
Yeah. How do your kids respond to this?
Just that way. This is weird. This is, you know, we know what happened in the past and we want to make, you know, they're team mommy like no other. But no, they're good. They love their dad and they're good. So
how long have you guys been back together now?
It's been a couple years. I tried to hide it for as long as I possibly could. Lala, you know how that is. You try to hide.
Yeah,
your real life.
Yes.
What? Wait. Did Lala hide anything on the show?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know the drill. You duck and dodge the truth for a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, fine. You gotta deal with it. So for a couple of years now. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I am very, does this now a question, and maybe I'm just being naive. Does this come out on the show in any of the show? Does this whole rekindling happen on the show?
It happened prior to us filming. So not really. No.
But last season's reunion is when Andy was like, who are you dating? Like, I've heard it may be somebody. Would you like to tell me? And isn't that when you were like, I'm dating my ex-husband?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
See, I was like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But people, to be honest with you, people that know us are like so super excited.
I mean, how could you not? Just listening to you talk about how you guys like went off and did your thing. And my mom always said, you can never be with someone if you only equal 100%. You each have to equal 100% to make 200. He can't be your other half. You have to already be a whole person.
Well, I'm like 500%, so there you go.
Oh, God, oh my ego. God. Right, ego.
No, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. And then my mother always told me that I should never be a man's first wife. I should be his second wife. And technically, I would be if we got married again.
Wow, how lucky is that to be? That's amazing.
Well, you know what? I agree with the 100% thing because I feel like you and I, like today where I'm at in my life and where you are, like we're strong forces and we are our own people. And we will break down for one another to be there for each other, but we will always hold the line on who we are and not let the other swallow the other person's
identity. Yeah, Randall always likes to ask, do you need me, Lala? I'm like, no, I want you, but I don't need anybody, baby.
But that is what you want. Like, that's perfect. I think that the first time when we were married, he swallowed me up. Like, and I, I decided to kind of put all my focus and concentration on him because he was building his business and he was building his church and I was there to help him. So I think as I look back, that probably was not good.
No, I mean, how can that be good? You know, it's crazy for you to say that because you're such a strong force. Like when you and I have spoken or when I watch you on the show, like I would never think that any man could, you know, swallow you up when, you know, it's like shocking to me.
But 12 years later, you're a boss. And now exactly like kind of like where we're at. Like we each have our identities and we embrace them versus one of us try to eat it up.
Giselle, do you feel like the show gave you more confidence?
I had it before, but it like amplified it from the perspective of season one, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You never know how you're going to be perceived. And I really was like a little terrified. Like, are people going to like me? Are they going to hate me? Are they going to think I'm just stuck up? Or are they going to understand my jokes? So I realized that I can't even worry about that. Like, I'm confident. I'm a bad one. And I'm just going to walk my walk.
I love it. Before we run out of time, I just want to talk about your makeup brand, Every Hue Beauty.
Yes.
So you launched this in 2016. Tell us about that because that's exciting because Lala, you know, launched a brand and I love to hear about strong women who have their own companies. So break it down for us.
By the way, thank you, Lala, for what you sent me. I was going to thank you at the end, but like, I love my lips. My kids are trying to steal what you sent me and I'm like, back up off my lipstick. Thank you very much.
Oh, you are so sweet. I'm so happy that you love it. Thank you.
You are quite welcome. So I started Every Hue Beauty to basically help out women of color because like when you go through the beauty world, a lot of times most things that are out there don't match our skin complexion until Fenty came along. Like Fenty really
changed the game,
the world. Yeah. And Fenty made everyone like big box stores realize, okay, we've got to have stuff in here for black women because Fenty just blew that market up. And we were in Target and it was a beautiful relationship. Now let's talk about COVID.
Okay. Right, then that part.
COVID has killed our manufacturer. So that's actually where we are right now. Like, our manufacturer shut down. We haven't been able, we don't know when they'll be back up. And because I have skincare, meaning I have products that have to be, I have SPF in my product and all that has to be approved by the FDA and all that stuff, I can't really just like move to another manufacturer overnight. So I'm trying to figure that out, guys. But COVID is a beast because it has really put a monkey wrench in every Hue Beauty.
It's put a wrench in and I hate to say like, well, misery loves company. That's just the saying, but it does feel good to be like, okay, at least I'm not the only one that's affected. It makes me feel less badly that things aren't moving the way that they used to.
Yeah, for everybody.
No,
for everybody.
Like not at all. And I never thought that this would be a problem. Like I never thought, okay, the pandemic has hit, cool, I get, you know, you'll be shut down, but it affected my manufacturer to the point where I don't know if they'll ever come back up. And it's kind of like, okay, we got to figure this out.
Well, that, I think that's interesting to say that because everybody goes through like where we were like, okay, it'll be a month, it'll be two months, okay, it's right. 3 months, now it's six, now it's nine. And you're right, a lot of people will not come back. A lot of my partners that I've worked with also, you know, I've suffered where they are not going to be able to come back. And it's crazy how we have to, you know, figure out the future and adapt. Yeah.
Yes. I am so grateful that you found time to be on our show. You know, I've been trying to get you on here for a minute. You're just amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for watching.
Yes.
You know, we were one of those, Randall, I don't know whether you know this or not, but we were one of the newest housewives to come along. We were like the little engine that could. Nobody thought we were going to make it.
Oh,
but,
wow.
You know,
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Hold on. So you're going into season four next.
Five. No. They're in five.
No, five.
Five is airing now.
Yes.
Oh, so if I start at 2.5, I got 2.5 seasons to watch. This is great.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, so I just really want to thank all the fans that just stuck with us from day one because, you know, we didn't think we were going to make it here. Now that we have, it's amazing.
Oh, Giselle, I love watching or seeing the little things on Instagram where it's like, if you haven't watched Potomac, like this is the GOAT. This is the one. Because I'm like, I've been telling y'all, this is the one. So thank you so much.
All right. Now, wait a minute. I need to get in y'all's business. So when is the wedding happening?
Oh,
we're going there, aren't we? So we plan to get married in September because
after we got shut down.
Correct. And September is approaching and nothing's gotten better. So we're planning on next year.
July.
Okay.
July.
Then that's smart. And you guys love each other. So nothing's going to happen between now and then.
No,
yeah, that's how
that,
we feel.
We look at each other now and we're just like, we're husband and wife. Like, enough with the Aww. Wedding. Like, it's gonna be magical when it happens. But we just like, I pushed hard for September. I pushed hard for October. And then she just looked at me and was like, babe, let's not fight an uphill battle. Let's just pick a date next summer. Knock on wood, the world has the vaccine and life is easier. And we're just going to roll with that. So that's where we're at.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Okay. All right. Can't wait.
Well, yes, this is what I love too, is that I get to adjust my guest list and, you know, because I've made new friends, baby, that I want to come celebrate love with me.
I would be honored.
I love it.
You are invited.
Of course. We'll get you your invitation.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk soon, baby. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Giselle.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Appreciate it.
I just die for her. Every time. Every fucking time. I get like flustered when I talk to her.
I saw that. I saw
when you
that.
When you Googled her, were you like, holy shit, this woman is stunning?
First of all, why are you looking at
She's
Tim?
She's stunning.
Tim hasn't watched one episode of reality of Real Housewives in his life.
I thought that was an awesome episode.
Tim, have you ever watched an episode of Real Housewives?
No.
Okay. So Tim is going to watch. I mean, why are you like looking at Tim?
She asked about when I was researching.
He researched Giselle.
And you're asking if he died when he saw her?
She is one of the most stunning women you will ever see.
Okay, well, let me tell you how excited I am. She's a badass. She's smart as they come. And she's very, very fun to talk to. I am going to watch this weekend on Sunday. This is going to be my mission. And she told me to start at season 2.5, 2.5. So I'm going to start there and I'm going to blow through.
And then we can watch together.
Oh, you're going to watch again?
No, but you'll be caught up with me.
Oh, season five. Okay.
Yep.
But anyway,
yep.
So by the end of Sunday, I'll have probably watched 10 hours. So I'm stoked to see her.
Yes. And before we sign off. I know. I'm sure you are stoked to see her.
I am.
Put your tongue back in your face.
I'm stoked to see the show.
So before we sign off, I would like to give a little bit of a shout out. I read today that Jessica Simpson, as you know, she's sober.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She is sober. She wrote a book called Open Book where she talks about her struggles with addiction.
Oh, wow.
And there was one Halloween that she was so wasted that her friends were like, get away from the children. Like, she didn't even remember Halloween at all, which I can relate to.
I did a movie with her, like, forget it, 10 years ago or something, even longer, 12 years ago. And I never saw that side of her. She was probably, you know, just coming up in her career, but the sweetest, nicest person. But so she's sober now.
She's sober now. Okay. And she did an interview and they asked her, like, has it been hard not to drink during the pandemic? And she said, I have not wanted to pick up a drink and I feel blessed.
Wow.
Because I haven't wanted to. Wow. You know, and that is a struggle for a lot of people. I've been on my meetings where people come in that I've recognized since I started that would say, you know, hi, today's my fifth birthday. That means like I've been 5 years sober.
Yeah.
Who are now getting their 3-day chip or whatever it may be.
Oh, do you see that a lot? A lot of people falling off during this tough, you know, obviously insane time.
Yeah. I mean, it's harder to be held accountable because all you're doing is phone calls and signing on to Zoom. Whereas before, it's like you want to get in the car and go to a meeting because that's like your social hour. You get to see your friends. You get to
it's
get
like
a meeting.
You're checking in.
You're checking in.
You're accountable.
Exactly. We don't have that right now.
And they are saying, I've looked at a lot of different stats. They are saying that alcoholism, obviously depression, all this stuff is on the rise because we're all living in a really, you know, unstable with the unpredictable time. So
right.
You're giving Jessica Sims a shout out.
I'm giving her a shout out for being sober. I think that it's amazing that she hasn't wanted to pick up a drink, and her saying I feel blessed for that is the perfect word to use because that's not the case for everybody. So I just want to acknowledge, you know, addiction during this time, and that if I can get sober, I know that you can too, and it's just worth it.
Well, I just want to give a shout out to you because you're almost 2 years sober. When is your birthday?
We're going to round up, even though in AA they say like you're supposed to
I'm
count
saying,
every
when
minute.
When is your birthday, though?
My birthday is October 22nd.
Wow.
2 years.
That's in, so 60 days. I know we're not supposed to do this, but I'm doing it. In 60 days, you know, we take it one day at a time.
Yes.
I know that. But you are going to celebrate your 2-year birthday. That is magical.
It's pretty fucking magical, man. You know, just sitting up on this sobriety high horse and I ain't coming down.
I'm not on that horse.
Tim, you haven't been on that horse since you were born. So moving forward.
Oh, good Lord.
All right. Well, listen, we've run out of time. I just want to say two things. One, this was a fun episode and awesome that I got to meet the amazing Giselle. And I look forward to seeing her show and everybody watch it. And two, I got to hang out with my girl. So there we go.
Oh, I love you, baby. You guys, thank you for listening to another episode of Give Them La La with Randall. And we will catch you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.